Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esquire Coaching Radio, where we help attorneys achieve unparalleled personal and professional success. And now here's your host, Anne Jenrette Thomas.
Welcome, welcome everyone to the Esquire Coaching Radio Show. It's such a pleasure to be here with all of you today. As you know, Esquire Coaching is a national coaching and consulting firm that is dedicated to empowering lawyers to happily succeed in the business of law. To that end, we discuss the full range of topics from building business to getting a job to work-life balance and everything in between. Today we have such an awesome guest. I am so excited to bring her to you. Her name is Cindy Krieger, who is one of the founding members of Krieger Cole Communications, and she's going to talk to us about the importance of public relations and media training. So I can't wait to dive into this. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Cindy. Cindy is a master media trainer and media relations expert with 20 years of communications experience in the news industry and LGBT nonprofit world, including a successful tenure at both ABC News and GLAAD. She has prepared hundreds of people for high-profile media appearances on a range of national platforms, including all the major broadcast and cable news networks and beyond. She's also placed numerous stories and spokespeople in outlets ranging from the New York Times to USA Today to the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she absolutely loves inspiring people to be their best when speaking to the media. Today, Cindy is here to explain why it's so important for attorneys to learn how to communicate effectively with the press. What to say and how to say it are vital ingredients for success when you are facing a crisis communication situation, or you're speaking to the media on an evergreen topic, or presenting a case at an opportune moment in the news cycle. Krieger Cole Communications, the company that Cindy and Rainey own, helps clients strike the right tone and balance every single time. Welcome, Cindy.
And thank you so much for that warm welcome. It's a real pleasure to be here with you today.
I'm so excited. And honestly, listeners, I'll tell you, Cindy is one of my absolute favorite people. And when you listen to this interview, you'll see why. So let's
thank you so much.
Let's dive right in. Oh, of course.
Well, so, it's mutually, the respect is mutual. So thank you for that.
Aw. It's a love fest here. I love it. So let's dive right in. And can you explain to lawyers what exactly public relations is?
Absolutely. The Public Relations Society of America defines public relations as a strategic communication process that builds mutually beneficial relationships between organizations and their publics. Now, the way I look at it, Anne, is that public relations is really communications between an organization and its audiences, or you could say an individual and their audiences, or perhaps a company and its audiences. And now, obviously, I know that attorneys are a big part of your audience, so let's use the example of a law firm. Public relations for a specific law firm would involve how that firm communicates with its unique audiences, and there are many. It could be its clients, its prospective clients, its key stakeholders, its employees, the legal community, the general public. It's really any important constituency connected to your firm. So it's also what you're putting out there in the world to communicate your brand, your values, really what you're all about, your public image. It's extremely important to strike that tone and balance you talked about in the intro when you're communicating to all of these different audiences. And through your words, you're building trust and credibility with your audience. I mean, turn on the television tonight, anybody out there, and you'll see a lot of people talking on TV. And you can begin to analyze, are they building trust with their audience, or are they sort of not doing that? And there's many examples of good and bad media appearances. But getting back to public relations for just a moment, it can take on many forms. It can be your company newsletter, social media channels like Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It can be special events, your website, your blog. More and more people are blogging these days. It could be a brochure. It's really anything that's communicating who you are and what you stand for. And, of course, one of the real key prongs to public relations is media relations. And that simply is your relationship with the press. And getting your message out in the press is another way to reach your various audiences. And that's a way to do it without directly engaging with them. The media, in that case, is your conduit. And that's really where a ton of the background we have in our firm comes in, media relations. So that's it in a nutshell.
Wow. That's fascinating, because I honestly, until now, did not realize that social media and the blog and other aspects of trying to communicate your value and your brand were all part of the umbrella of public relations. So this was, I just learned something new, so thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I think a lot of people do get it can be confusing. I think people can confuse public relations and media relations, but media relations is one prong. And as you know, in this day and age we live in, with so many ways to communicate, the democratization of media, we all have a voice. All we simply have to do is get a blog going. And if we go viral tomorrow, well, we may have changed the world. That's so true.
And we're seeing it all the time. And so, you know, one thing that I find that's unique about your firm is that you actually do media training. Tell our audience a little bit about what that is.
Sure. Media training means preparing to talk with the press. It involves drafting succinct messages, and those messages convey your point of view in the most clear and concise way. They're supposed to, anyway. And then the next step, once you have those messages, is you do mock interviews with a media trainer. And I'm, in this case, I do a lot of those and have done a lot of them in my career. And it helps that I used to be a journalist. So I played that role for the first whole part of my career. I was the one asking the questions out there in the field with my camera. And so now I'm on the other side of it in PR, but I know how journalists think. And so as a media trainer, I take on the role of the journalist, and I grill you with questions to test your ability to make your point clearly and accurately without putting your foot in your mouth. Now, during the training, you may put your foot in your mouth many times, but that's okay. It's best to do it in the training and get it out of, you know, get that out of your system. And then we work and work and work. And one of our mottos at Krieger Cole Communications is we help you cut through the clutter and get to the point so you shine in the spotlight. And I am sure that you've heard many times, what's your elevator pitch? What's your elevator pitch? You know, you have to be able to get it out between, you get on the first floor of the elevator, and by the time you get up to your floor, you have to get out your point. Well, in New York City, I suppose, depending on what building you're in, if there's some real high rises, you'd have more time. But anyway, getting your point out quickly and concisely is so important when you're doing media, especially national television. So when you're on TV, especially like a national program, you usually have about 3 to 5 minutes to make your point. Depending on what program you're on, you might get interrupted by the host. You just really need to be on your game, and media training prepares you to be on your game.
You know, I'm really glad that you gave us this explanation, because one thing that I think a lot of people think about when they think about media training is, oh, I probably will need it if I'm going to a place where I know the host will be adversarial to me, you know, or just one of those gotcha type of, you know, reporters or interviewers. And so, but what I'm hearing you say is it's not just for those types of interviews, but really it's to prepare so that the true message can come out no matter who's interviewing you. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely true, Anne, because even if it's a friendly interview, if you haven't done your homework or done your prep, you could be a deer in the headlights on TV. And especially if you take for granted, oh, this will be an easy softball interview. I'll just walk on set. No biggie. I know my stuff. No. I don't care how smart and how much experience you have in a particular field. There's a new angle that they may be asking you about. They might be asking you about something that's in the news cycle right now, which is what you got invited on the program for in the first place. And sometimes even the friendly interviewers can ask you a kind of a curveball that you weren't expecting, or a devil's advocate question. So no matter what, you need to be magnificently prepared, as my dad used to tell me, to study before my tests. Be magnificently prepared. And also I think sometimes with friendlier hosts, we think we can let down our guard. And I'm not suggesting that people, you know, get real on guard and intense, but I always think of it as putting on your media hat. If you're in the presence of a media person, whether it's print, broadcast, or blog, you have to think, I'm wearing my media hat. Anything I say right now could end up in a headline. And you just need to be aware. You can be very confident in your thinking, but you just have to be aware.
That's such great advice. And it's also making me realize that, you know, especially when you're dealing, we have a lot of attorneys that might be litigators and dealing with time-sensitive cases. And so if they're dealing with an issue that is part of the news cycle, well, then their media training needs to happen a little bit earlier on. So this is absolutely great. Now,
thank you.
From your perspective, why do you think that public relations and media training are so important for attorneys?
Attorneys have important work to share. They're often fighting for a cause, or fighting for clients' rights, or fighting for a client who's been wronged in some way. And protecting their firm's reputation and the reputation of their clients is really paramount. Knowing how to communicate what's at stake to various audiences is really crucial. And for attorneys, I always think, when I think attorneys, I think immediately, I have to break down legalese, and I have to do it now, and I need to help them to do it. And it's, when I work with attorneys, it's my mission to help them boil down all of that legalese into usable sound bites that convey the true message. So when I work with them, I help them explain what all the legal language really means for real people. Public relations and media training work can help attorneys cut through all that legal clutter. I talk about cutting through the clutter. And, you know, it's just, so for instance, when I work with attorneys, if I have a case in front of me, I have to read it, and then I have to kind of get to the core points and figure out what the public is going to be able to consume. And I think that is why, those are a few reasons why I think it's so important for attorneys, because they can kind of get caught up in just the case itself. But what does it really mean, and how do I talk about it to everybody else, to the common person?
Oh, bravo. I completely applaud you on that, because I think this is where we get really caught out as lawyers, you know, that we're very used to talking to each other maybe within the firm, or if you're dealing with a case or judges or just other people that are like you, it's pretty easy to get caught up in the jargon. And, you know, yet that makes it very inaccessible to the people that we're trying to reach. And so I'm really, really happy to hear that. And do you think, because, you know, I mean, let's be honest, lawyers have a bad overall image. You know, we're seen as sharks and not necessarily trustworthy and, you know, all of these negative things.
Right.
How is it that, is there anything we can do from a public relations standpoint to help the industry? And, I mean, I know that might be a bigger question than we can really answer, but just wondering if you might have any thoughts on that.
Well, I think that, yeah, I think that is somewhat of a, you know, a perception out there, and I think it can change. I think the more attorneys that have great cases to share with the world about how they're helping someone, maybe someone less fortunate, or helping the little guy take on the big person who's, you know, the David Goliath kind of stories, I think the more you have lawyers working on great causes and articulating their messages clearly, I think the less you're going to have that perception. I mean, when you talk about the importance of projecting a positive image for your firm or your unique brand, I'd say your public reputation is everything. And if the public has a positive image of you, you're a whole lot more likely to get more business. If there's a negative image of your firm or your business, you know, that's going to suffer. You know, you see certain companies get embroiled in bad PR, and it's really important to be transparent at those times. Admit you made mistakes and explain how you'll work to win back the public's trust. Sometimes you'll see this, Anne, with food companies or car manufacturers that have a recall, or maybe a toy company, and they're in a crisis PR situation. It's important to face a problem head on and show your audiences that you're working to solve the problem. I may have been get off track a little bit about how to solve the reputation of the legal industry, but I think one way that I can say, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the work that we do with the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. I know that a lot of firms out there help nonprofits like the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund by offering pro bono services to help. Let's say, for instance, the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund has a program called the Name Change Project, where they help get transgender people free legal name changes. Well, they wouldn't be able to do that work without pro bono support from firms all over the country. And I think the more firms do that sort of work, or they have a pro bono arm if they're able, I think that can really help to restore that reputation or that perception out there that lawyers are just sharks, because I know many obviously that are not. And I'd like to help everyone, you know, change that perception. So
Could you share some of the legal cases that your firm has supported through public relations and or media training?
Sure. Well, the first one that comes to mind is the most recent that we worked on through our work with the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, which is a firm that, is a nonprofit that we've worked with for almost 2 years now. Most recently, we handled all the PR around a transgender teen's fight to get an accurate driver's license at the South Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles. And her name is Chase Culpepper. And in March of 2014, when she went to get her first driver's license, she was told by the DMV that she could not take her photo unless she removed the makeup she wears on a regular basis. And they told her she needed to look like a boy or look male, and they refused to provide her with the driver's license. They made her go into the bathroom and rub off the makeup with, like, these harsh paper towels. They humiliated her. And anyway, in September 2014, they filed a federal lawsuit on Chase's behalf, and they asked the court to rule that denying her the freedom to wear her everyday makeup in her license photo constituted sex discrimination and violated her right to free speech and expression under the United States Constitution. But there's a good ending to the story, because this past April, they reached a settlement in the case, and the settlement will allow Chase to get her new license appearing as her true self and ensure that all transgender and gender nonconforming people will be treated fairly at the South Carolina DMV from now on. They have training now for the staff that they will treat transgender people fairly. And what was great about this is Chase is very inspirational, and I was able to work with her and her mom, Teresa, and media train them, and, you know, and also help TILDIF with the points that they were going to talk about this case. I don't know if it's helpful to hear some of the sound bites that came out of the case since we're talking about media
training. That'd be great.
So the transgender legal defense people went in reaching the settlement. Here's kind of the message that they sent to the press. So this settlement agreement sends a strong message about equal rights, said TILDIF staff attorney Ethan Rice. Transgender and gender nonconforming people are entitled to be themselves without interference from the DMV. It is not the role of the DMV or its employees to decide how men and women should look. People should be able to get a driver's license without being subjected to sex discrimination. The policy changes and training that the DMV will implement in response to Chase's lawsuit will help all transgender and gender nonconforming South Carolina residents in the future. And then, so that sort of gets to the heart of the matter from the legal perspective. But then you've got the real face of the issue, which is Chase Culpepper. And so she said, "I'm thrilled with the outcome of my lawsuit. My clothing and makeup reflect who I am. from day one, all I wanted to do was get a driver's license that looks like me, and now I'll be able to do that. It was hurtful to be singled out for being transgender and made to feel like I wasn't good enough. And with the settlement, the DMV can no longer force transgender people to look like someone they're not. I'm so glad I stood up for what's right and helped people make a positive change for transgender and gender nonconforming people. And I read all of that, Anne, only to just give you an idea of the messaging that our firm needs to work on with in conjunction with all the attorneys. We collaborate on that language before it goes out to the press. We prep with the attorneys. We prep with Chase and her mom. And then Krieger Cole works to place the story in the media. And so we worked out a situation where the Los Angeles Times broke the story, and then it trickled out to all of the other press, and that takes a ton of coordination, and those are just a few of the things. So when we take on a big case like that as a firm, we're doing soup to nuts when it comes to prepping for the press and then coordinating all of the media interviews that follow, and we're probably 40 press hits in big, big outlets,
wow,
including MSNBC and the Los Angeles Times. So that's one, and I won't, I know we don't have tons of time, so I won't go into tons of others, but that's one example. And then we also worked last year with the Family Equality Council. They're doing a lot of work around marriage equality, where they have an amicus brief that they have been submitting to all the various marriage equality cases in which they talk about the children of same-sex parents whose lives hang in the balance when there are not marriage protections. So there's a few, but we do love supporting legal cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Well, especially what you're talking about is all cutting-edge, you know, civil rights-oriented or test cases and class actions. In some cases, it sounds like it could be class action suits. And what's also fascinating is that you can use the media training and the public relations for the clients themselves, not just for the lawyers. You know, that there's a way mm-hmm. to be able to make sure that the entire story is seamless. At least that's what I heard from the TDL, the Transgender Legal Education Defense Fund story that you just gave us. So it makes so much sense, because now when somebody comes to you and then approaches the media, all the moving pieces know what they're supposed to say, essentially, and are
exactly.
trained in how to say it. Yeah,
that's
wow.
right.
That makes for a much more powerful, you know, that makes more for a much more powerful impact overall. So that makes sense.
Right. It's orchestrated. It is orchestrated.
Exactly.
And if you watch TV, you can tell when something's not. Now, sometimes things break and people just have to go on TV, and they have to do it now. And sometimes you just can't orchestrate. But we, you know, with a case like this, you plan and you prepare and you do it right.
Strategic.
And,
I love it.
Strategic. Yeah.
Now, okay.
Yes.
You just told us something wonderful. Now, tell us a little bit about what are some of the biggest mistakes that people make when they're interacting with the press?
Yeah, one big mistake people make is failing to properly scrutinize a media request before they agree to participate. So you get a media request. You should make sure that you or your PR person finds out the angle of the interview, the format of the show, the length of the interview, and the general demeanor of the host before you ever agree to go on. It's sort of like
wow.
interviewing the interviewer, we used to say when I worked at GLAAD. Mm-hmm. Before you let them interview you, you interview them about what they're all about. So you check and see how they've covered your story in the past. And then once you have that info, you can make an informed decision about whether you want to participate in the interview. If you go in blindly to an interview, you can get burned by lines of questions that you're not prepared to address. Other big mistakes is really thinking you can speak off the cuff. I kind of touched on that earlier without preparing. So no matter how seasoned you are at speaking on a particular topic, you should be trained before you speak. And then if you're talking about just on-air mistakes, failing to smile, looking off camera, looking up and down. I saw a guy roll his eyes last night at the end of an interview on the Rachel Maddow show, and I don't think he meant to do it, but it looks so bizarre. or if you see people split-screen You see someone mm-hmm. doesn't like what someone else is saying, and they shake their head, they roll their eyes, they get defensive. These are no-nos. Or going off message, going off topic, mm-hmm. and going down this whole rabbit hole of something else, you don't want to do that as well. And then another thing is just letting an interview totally just roll over you, mm-hmm. where you're not keeping the interview on your own terms and getting your points across. That's one of the big ones. So I'd say bottom line, when you do media interviews, it's really important to keep interviews on your terms.
This is fantastic. And I'll tell you, the first time I ever was interviewed by a local TV station, I was a deer in headlights. as much as, and this is true, you know, some lawyers are good at public speaking, and it's a different ball game when you basically have a green screen behind you and some large camera yeah. in your face and some
right.
random person somewhere else to
it's
talk
daunting.
To you, and you're like, oh.
Right, exactly,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah, so
really
I agree with this.
That's all good.
So talk to us, I can't believe we're almost running out of time, but
yeah,
tell us a little
like
bit about how your firm can help attorneys become better spokespeople and more press savvy overall.
Mm-hmm. We kind of touched on the fact that we help people cut through all the legal jargon and get to the heart of their cases. We help mm-hmm. them to boil down the facts into a concise set of points that sort of explain what's at stake for the real people involved. And we also give them tips on how to interact with specific reporters who cover their particular area of law and how to find strategic ways to get cases in the news cycle at opportune moments. I'll give you a for instance. If there's a huge story in the headlines about, let's say, an oil spill or another kind of disaster, and you're an attorney that specializes in helping victims of such disasters, well, this might be just the opportunity for you to write an op-ed on the topic or get a press release out with your point of view. It could be a moment for you to show the world that you're a thought leader on a particular topic and that's dominating the headlines. So working with a firm like ours, we're sort of keeping our eyes on that for you. Like, oh, this just broke. You should probably put out a statement right away. I could maybe get you on MSNBC. And the more you do those kinds of press opportunities, the more your credibility is built with the public and all of your audiences. So those are
and we know how far that can go. You know,
yeah.
sometimes your reputation far precedes you, so it can get things accomplished quickly, or it can shut the door quickly. So this
right.
is excellent. How can our listeners get in touch with you, Cindy?
Through our website, kriegercole.com, kriegercole.com, or feel free to send an email to me, cindy@kriegercole.com, or you can send it to contact@kriegercole.com. But Rainey is my spouse who founded the company with me, and I just want to give her a shout-out, too, because I could never do all of this without her. She's the backbone of our business operation, and she works hard to help me on all aspects of what I've been talking about today. So she's my rock.
Oh, that's so sweet. And it's true. I've met Rainey, and I know, and I, you know, I concur with that.
Thank you so much.
And just for our listeners, Cindy is spelled C-I-N-D-I. It's not with a Y.
Ah,
so
thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I should have
nope.
said that.
No worries.
Well, you want to put a Y. So, thanks.
Now, if in our last couple of minutes, what's the biggest takeaway that you want our listeners to take this conversation?
The biggest takeaway, Anne, is that public relations and media training will help you build confidence, sharpen your message, persuade audiences, and get your story in the news. And public relations and media training are your friends. Get to know them. They can change your practice for the better. I do speak from experience in helping a lot of people with their media, and it's a lot of fun. And I think people get a real energy surge when they feel like they're making a difference when they speak to the press.
This has been phenomenal. Thank you so much for joining us today, Cindy. Really appreciate it.
I really appreciate the opportunity, Anne. Thank you so much.
And listeners, let's keep this conversation going. Do you have questions about press or TV or radio?
just go ahead to our website, www.esquirecoaching.com. Click on any of our social media, and let's just keep this conversation going. And Cindy, hopefully we'll get you to answer some of those questions.
I would be happy to do so.
On our next episode, we'll be speaking with Daniel Tan, Esquire, about the aftermath of Freddie Gray and where do we go from here. Until then, be well, everyone.